road to work, not paying attention to what the weatherman says or what the forecasts are, and next thing you know, they find themselves in a situation like this. And we can find our lives can be in a situation like this. Is that next thing you know, we find ourselves where we don't want to be, and we're stuck. Or many of us have been in a situation, we've been driving down the road, and all of a sudden the clouds start getting darker, and all of a sudden lightning starts to flash, rain starts to come, and it could be hail, but all of a sudden you're driving into something that you just don't want to drive into. You don't want to be there. And so that's part of life. It has its twists and turns, and sometimes we have to pull off the side of the road to just kind of breathe a little bit and kind of get our senses about us. But then there's other parts of our life that just things are going well. It's like traveling down a road in the autumn, you know, enjoying the scenery, the beauty of God's creation all around us. Everything just seems to be going right for us. And so we're happy, you know, we're happy at that point in time. It's like driving down the road on the coast, out in the West Coast. I've never driven on the West Coast, but I've seen a lot of pictures. David Gunter and Janice have probably driven the West Coast roads a lot. But the thing is that when you're able to get out, you notice God's creation, and it kind of gives you a peace of mind. If you've got a mindset that God is in control, and you just sit there and you enjoy those things. Now, Maria and I were able to go out to Utah a couple years ago, and we went through the national parks out there. And it's amazing when you look at it and you sit there and you go, just what God has created for us and the beauty that's there. And sometimes when you're in a place like this, you just kind of forget about everything else that's going around. But that's part of life. It has its good days and it has its bad days. But some of you will remember roadmaps, those of us who are a little bit older. Our children or our grandchildren have no earthly idea what a roadmap is. They've kind of heard about them. They've never used one. If you gave it to them, they probably wouldn't know what to do. But I remember that most of us remember to get from those places I was just pointing to, from point A to point B. Remember how you used to have to unfold this map? You could say, okay, well, I got to go to this road and that road. And so you planned out your journey. The biggest problem with that map was, if many of you remember, is trying to get it to fold back like you got it in the first place. But roadmaps are like that. God's Word is kind of a roadmap, but this roadmap is a little bit different because you have to learn how to read it. And roadmaps are kind of interesting is because that they don't show you. They may show you, oh yeah, you're going to come to this roundabout. But the thing that the roadmap doesn't tell you ahead of time is that, oh yeah, by the way, there's an accident or it's heavily congested. It's going to take you an hour to get through. You know, so there's things that it's not there. It's the road of life, the twists and turns. So thankfully right now, we don't have any roundabouts like this in Georgia. The scary thing is that sometimes we only have one, and sometimes people don't even know how to get in and out of those. But we have to learn how to do that. And many of you who have driven down through downtown Atlanta recognize that this is right to where 85 and 75 go through Atlanta. And to the left side of the screen is that Varsity sign. But roadmaps will get you in and out of Atlanta, but it won't tell you that, oh yeah, by the way, you're going to hit a load of traffic and you're going to get stuck in traffic for an hour, hour and a half. And I've seen that happen, and we've heard it all happen on the radio. But that's the road of life. It's kind of like traffic in Atlanta. Sometimes it puts you in a place that you don't want to be, but you're stuck there. But thankfully, technology has come along, and now we have GPS. We've got apps, and we have devices like Garmin and TomToms that kind of tell you. The great thing about apps like Waze is that it tells you how to get there. Sometimes it's a long way around, but it will tell you when there are certain troubles that you're going to come upon, and it will redirect you. We were coming back from Florida, last year, a year before, and all of a sudden it got us getting off of the interstate, taking a few turns and putting us back on the interstate down the road because there was an accident. If I would have been just reading a regular map, I would have not known that. But the problem is now is that we've gotten so used to these devices that tell us how to get to and from, we don't even know how to read a map anymore. I saw a quote the other day that somebody said that, look, give me the directions, but don't use words like east or south. That people just don't know. They want landmarks. They want things like that. And so when you think about these things, you know, we've just come a long way. And so GPS will help us avoid situations like this. And so when you find yourself in a state of life that all of a sudden you're going down a road and next thing you know, you have to move, you have to turn. You have to get back away because you can't continue to proceed forward. Well, God's Word teaches us those things too. It gives us warnings about what's happening in life. And hopefully that we have the sense that we can think and look at His Word and say, I don't need to proceed down this road because I know what is at the end of it. And so we need to kind of think about not following the crowd because sometimes they all are going the wrong direction. And sometimes we end up in a situation like this where we get ourselves in a mess and we don't know how to get out of it, and it's not going to be easy to get out of. People didn't listen to or look at road signs or didn't heed warnings. The next thing you know, I don't know how these people in this situation ever get out of it. Because you got cars going every different direction, and it doesn't seem like anybody's in charge. And then what we have is like we do have signs that help us, that warn us of things to take heed of. Now, the thing that GPS apps don't do and you know, other devices that we have, is it doesn't tell you, oh, yeah, there's a stop sign at this road. Now, they'll tell you if you're exceeding the speed limit, because a lot of them are you know, designed to tell you that. But it doesn't tell you sometimes if you're going the wrong way or if you're going, you know, there's a yield sign coming up. So there's things that even GPS doesn't do, but we still need to be aware and we still need to be alert. So what I want you to think about this morning is, for me sometimes, I see things and then they remind me of things. And I try to apply them to scriptural examples and warnings. And one of the best inventions that we've ever had regarding when man started driving in the United States and other countries is this little invention called a traffic light. It helps to control what's going on. And I was thinking about this morning, when I came, and as I was going, like, everybody in this building, when you leave here, you're going to pass a traffic signal. And they may not all function the same way. I know the Vons, when they head out and they head home, I thought they were the only ones that could get home without going through a traffic light, but I was wrong. It's got that flashing yellow light and red light right there by the fairgrounds. So they don't get a pass on this either. But I want you to think about something when you leave this building today. Is I want you to think about this traffic light, because you're going to face a traffic light and it's going to have red, yellow, and green lights. But think about it, what it was designed to do. The traffic light was designed to maintain order of what would otherwise be a chaotic situation. And so you look at this traffic light, and it's a real traffic light. Now you tell me which one you're going to pay attention to. It's in London. It's in a roundabout. It's outside of a shopping center. But the good thing is that it's not real. I mean, it is real, but not for traffic light purposes. It's a sculpture. And it's put in this roundabout. But could you imagine what your life would be is that all of a sudden you pulled up to a roundabout and you faced that? Which one do I look at? But thankfully, none of us are going to face that. But the thing that we need to realize, too, is that a properly placed and functioning traffic light will help maintain control of the roadways. And you may not know where I'm going with this, but I want you to think about it. You know, it's there. It's to prevent chaos. It's to keep order. And that's what God's Word does for us, is that it keeps us in order, some order of in our life, that we can live how He wants us to live. Like I said before, it's like, what happens if it doesn't function properly? What happens if all the lights are off? Or they all start flashing at the same time? Or they're all on at the same time? We've all faced that situation. Thankfully, we've had people smarter to say, look, if this happens when you come to this intersection, this is how you proceed. Every other person, one across. Not everybody wants to heed that. If they're in a hurry, next thing you know, they say, I don't care if it's your turn or not. And they take off. But what happens is that is when people don't know what to do, it creates chaos. And chaos, the definition of it, is a condition or place of great disorder and confusion. And that's what happens when people don't obey the rules of the road, the traffic signals, and things like that. That's what happens, is it becomes chaotic. And if we don't listen to what God's Word tells us what to do, our lives become chaotic. We don't follow the right signals. We don't heed the yield signs when God says, yield. And we find ourselves back in this situation again, in the middle of a mess that we don't know what to do or how to get out of. So when you think about it, people sometimes don't obey the rules of the road. I don't know what the situation is here with this particular example, whether or not the car turned in front of somebody that just disobeyed, didn't really pay any attention. Was it the truck that just tried to run the red light to go through, wasn't paying attention, texting, talking on the phone, distracted, spill coffee, or whatever the case may be. But that's what happens when people don't pay attention to what's going on around them. And I think if I was in this car, I would have yielded to the train because I think I know who's going to win. And we need to realize in the end that we know who's going to win. God's going to be the winner of all things. But what happened? The same thing in this particular situation is, did that person pay attention to the traffic signals, those things that were right in front of them, but they were distracted? Maybe they were distraught about something. Next thing you know, they think, well, maybe I can beat the train. So you find things like this, and we've seen it on the news, of people that just tried to beat the train or just didn't even see it. So I want you to think about this thing, and this is where the lesson is going. Is the next time you see and come to a traffic light, is just obey it. It's there for your safety, and it's mine. But I want you to look at this traffic light next time you come to it in a different way. But use it as a reminder of God's love for us and instructions to live by. You're probably going like, what are you talking about? I want you to think about the three colors that are in a traffic light. Red, yellow, some people call it orange or amber, and green. They all have specific reasons for being there. They tell us what to do. And I want you to think that next time, if you're riding with your parents, if you're driving or riding with somebody else and you come to a stoplight or a traffic light and it's red, just think about these few things here. Think about what God said in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 18 and 19. He says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold and silver, from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your father, but you were saved with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And think about it. Like I said, when you drive up to that traffic light and it's red, just let it sink into your mind that it's a visual for you to remember that you were saved by the blood of Christ. That red light should represent to you and remind you that it was Christ that died for me. God gave his only begotten Son that you and I might have eternal life through obedience to him. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10:29, he says, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing and insulted grace.
Think about that traffic light.
Think about the red.
Think about the blood of Christ.
Think about how you and I view his blood, about our lives, what he wants for the best of us. Are we trampling the blood of Christ under our feet by disobeying him and treating it just like everyday common things? It's not. John, in 1 John 3, verse 10, he says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil manifest, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So that traffic light should remind us that we need to live a righteous life. We need to stop. If sin is in our life, we need to stop, that we may be pleasing to God. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, he says, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. And if you want to look at it, you can think about red. The word red starts with R. The word repentance starts with R. But that traffic light, as you're sitting there and you're waiting for it to change, and you see that red, think about the blood of Christ, and then think, how is my life? What am I doing? How am I living it? Do I need to repent of the things so I can get back on the road of life and be pleasing to God? Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 1 and 2, he says, what then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may increase? God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And so to think about those things, stop. Think, shall we continue in sin? No. We need to remember that we were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And think about the yellow light. What does that remind you of? What does it tell you to do? It tells you to be careful, right? That, hey, the light's getting ready to change from green to red. Be cautious. Slow down. It's getting ready to change. And I want you to think about this too, is that it's a warning to us. And God's word gives us a lot of warnings. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 15 and 16, he says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Walk circumspectly. And I think that's what we all do, is when we come up to an intersection and that traffic light turns yellow, it's kind of like walking circumspectly. It's kind of like, what's around me? What's about to happen? And so we sit there and we look to the right or left, because I don't know whether you've ever faced this, but I've come up and next thing you know, it's like a car just comes flying through because, and I've been guilty of this too, kind of want to beat the red light because I don't want to sit there for 2 or 3 minutes. I'll make it through. And how many times have you seen somebody get in an accident in front of you, or maybe you've been involved in one, because people didn't heed the signals? And that's one thing that God wants us to do, is to heed these signs, these warning signs that his word gives to us. 1 Peter 5th chapter and verse 8, he says, be sober and be vigilant. Now I kind of jump over to this for a second, because it is kind of like How many people have you seen out drinking and get drunk and then they don't pay any attention to any of this stuff? But God's warning us, as he said, look, you be sober, clear-headed, clear-minded. You be vigilant. He says, because the adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So when you see that yellow light change, or when you sit there, think about it. Look at these scriptures. God's warning me, just like this traffic light's warning me, to be aware of my surrounding, what's happening. Luke, the 12th chapter and verse 15. The Lord says, take heed and beware of covetousness. Here's a warning sign, right? Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist of the abundance in the abundance of the things he possesses. And I've told you this, and some of you, we've talked about this bumper sticker on the back of cars. Sometimes you may see, and it'll say, he who dies with the most toys wins. Here's a person that's put everything they have into possessions and not into a treasure that's in heaven. So think about these things, the warning signs that we have is take heed. Beware of covetousness. We can't take it with us. We can't take it with us. Hebrews, the 3rd chapter and verse 12, the Hebrew writer says, beware, brethren. Here's that sign. Here's this walk circumspectly. Be careful. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. Warning. Some of you maybe remember the show that was Lost in Space, remember? Warning, warning, Will Robinson. It's like, remember these things. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. And that phrase right there should take you back to the traffic light, the red light, right? If there's a heart of you of unbelief, you need to be careful of that from departing from the living God. Repent of those things and turn back to God. And then green. We all know what green means, right? Sit there, and a lot of times you just can't wait till the light turns green. But God's Word gives us a green light. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said, he said to them, go. Just like that traffic light gives us permission to go, God's Word tells us to go. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Go, he tells all of us to go. And those who obey the gospel, they'll go. But those who don't, he says, they will be lost. James, the 4th chapter and verse 8. Go. Go where? James says, look, draw near to God. That's a movement. That's going forward. Christians aren't designed to stay stagnant and to stay in place at a red light. The light changes green, they still sit there. That's not us. James says, look, you draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Go, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Paul, writing to the Galatians in chapter 6, verse 10, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. This green light should remind us to do good. It takes action. Use the blessings that God has blessed us with to bless others. He's blessed us. He's told us to be thankful to him. But it's just not for us. It's for you to help others. And so, do good. Don't keep the things and hoard them to yourselves, but do good with the things which God's blessed you with. Revelation, the 2nd chapter and verse 10, the last part of that verse says, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Be faithful unto death. At least as I can look around and see, we're all still living, right? He says, be faithful unto death. Go. Go. But be faithful. We just can't stop. And the thing that scares us sometimes about life is like this pandemic that's going on. Some people have just stopped. They're not going. They just have sheltered in place. So be faithful unto death. To keep going. Our life doesn't stop just because we obeyed the gospel. So I want you, the next time you come to that traffic light, is to let the lights be your reminder. Let that red light remind you of the blood of Christ. That God sent His only begotten Son into this world that we might be saved. That's how much He loved us. Christ was willing to go to that cross and to shed His blood for us. So remember, the greatest gift of all is the blood of Christ. But if we're sinning, let that red light remind us that we need to repent and stop sinning. We need to stop living a life that we were and change course. And then that yellow light, let us remind us that we need to learn how to walk circumspectly, to be aware of our surroundings, that we don't get stuck in these traffic jams of life because we've made the wrong decision, because we weren't walking circumspectly, and we walked right into a trap and find ourselves in a situation that may be very difficult to get out of. Let it remind us that we need to be sober and to be vigilant. That's what God wants us to do. Because He says that Satan is like a roaring lion, that he's seeking to devour us. So when you see that yellow light, think about it. Be sober. Be vigilant in how you live your life. And then to take heed and to beware. Take heed of God's word and beware of those things that can have a negative impact on your eternal destiny. And then the green light we just talked about is go. Don't be stagnant. Don't stand in place. But to go, to do those things which are helpful, to do good. We all have the advantage to do good, and therefore let's go and do good. And then as the last scripture we pointed out is that we need to remain faithful. To be faithful to God for what He's done for us because He loves us, but we need to be faithful not only today, but as the scriptures teach, until death. So, don't let your life get caught up in a mess like this. Heed the traffic signs and the warnings that are in your life that you and I face on a daily basis. Let us live our lives that we don't get caught up in a situation we can't get out of easily. It's because we haven't paid attention to the things that were going on around about us. And we've forgotten how much God loves us through the giving of His Son. So, live your life right. And to be obedient to His will. That's how we're going to get to heaven, is to be an obedient people. And there may be some here this morning that have never obeyed the gospel of Christ. They haven't stopped sinning. They haven't appreciated what God did for them through the giving of His Son and His Son's shedding of His blood. They just live their life with no controls. Their life is in total chaos all the time, even though it might not look like it, but it is. And they haven't gone and done what God told them to do, is to be obedient to His word. So if we can help you in any way this morning, go ahead and ask you, if you would, to stand as we sing numbers 63. Nope.